did here.
Yeah, there you go. Just for the benefit of the council.
Okay. We have notice of an open house. Mr. Go Glass and Lewis is having a 25th anniversary open house Wednesday, August 29th from 5 to 7 p.m. And they're at 17701 Dartmouth Drive, Unit 3. Lewis, that's behind the new Wawa on Route 1 South. And a letter from their manager in Dover to Mr. Dukes inviting all members of council to attend that function. I guess that would be the correspondence.
Yeah. Any other correspondence? Being none, Mr. Baker.
Okay, the first item I have is regarding appeal hearing request, and I'm going to pass out copies of the Delaware Code and also copies of two letters received from two separate proposed developers. And these two appeal letters were received for denial decisions made by the Planning and Zoning Commissions. Both of the appeals fall under the old appeal rules because the applications were made prior to the enactment of the new appeals procedure ordinance on February 28, 2007. And the council must decide whether or not to hear these individual appeals, and if granted, public hearings would be scheduled at a later date. And I think Mr. Lank is here, and he can possibly explain any details about the two appeals.
I read it.
Thanks, Lawrence.
Morning, Lawrence.
Just stay in the office.
Yeah. Your phone did, right?
Yeah. Public hearings on these applications were held by the commission back in May. You should have a copy of the report mailed to you last week from Shane that showed the action taken by the commission and a report of the record. Right. On the one for Subdivision 2006-10, La Crosse Homes of Delaware Incorporated, there were a couple pages of reasons. Right. It was a cluster subdivision. On the subdivision 2006-11, Raging Cajun Homes LLC, a very short last paragraph. That public hearing was just presentation could have been better. It was poorly presented. It just wasn't much of a record.
Which one are you talking about now? The first?
Second portion. The last paragraph in the report from Shane.
In the report. PZ report, George.
In your packet, George.
In the packet. Okay, I'm looking wrong.
Raging Cajun Homes you're talking about.
Right, Raging Cajun Homes LLC. That was a short public hearing. It's only 10 lots, but the presentation didn't give us any record. It didn't substantiate the reasons of the 99-9C, which gives us all the criteria for.
Well, whose fault is that? Not our fault, or not the P&Z's fault, was it?
No, they just didn't respond well, or so it didn't seem to be prepared.
I can read the minutes. It says they got it from a surveyor and got dumped. It looks like the project got dumped a couple times.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word.
Did either applicant
have reasons?
Did either applicant request reconsideration by the commission?
No, neither one. They came right. The ordinance provides for a May. Allows for you to go directly to council with an appeal or direct back to the commission with a reconsideration, and neither one chose to do the reconsideration. It came right to council.
Which under the old ordinance they had a right to do.
Either way.
Right.
And it does say May, so it was their choice. So either the options would have been for the applicant to go for reconsideration before the commission, which they chose not to, or appeal directly to council.
But Jim, don't they have to have a reason for appeal? If I'm reading the one here, this letter, it just says they're just requesting, you know, an appeal that with no reason.
Well,
did you read nine?
Next letter, I read the next letter from the other one. They at least expressed some reasons why they thought they were denied and they were treated unfairly. I mean, you just don't appeal for the sake of appealing, do you?
Well, read 99-39A under the old appeal section. It says any applicant aggrieved, if they feel they are aggrieved, then I suppose.
Well, don't they have to tell you why they were aggrieved? Or just, I feel, I get aggrieved here every week.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you should.
The ordinance does not.
You should be embarrassed.
The ordinance does, that ordinance does not require them to.
That was right to talk.
As a means of asking for the hearing does not require them to show specific information. It says any applicant aggrieved by a finding, decision, or recommendation may go back before the commission for reconsideration or may appeal said finding to council as long as they do it within 60 days. And I assume these did within 60 days?
Yes, they meet the criteria.
So I really think you pretty much have to give them the opportunity to show us at that hearing why they believe they were aggrieved.
You say we have to?
We have to do.
I mean,
you can, after you have the hearing, you could decide whether you're going to send it back to the commission.
But we have to accept appeal?
Well, I mean, you guys can read it. It's right in front of you.
Oh, yeah, I read it, yeah.
But in the past, on a couple of occasions, you referred back. The application back after the appeal.
Right.
And in others, you have reversed, and a couple you actually supported the commission.
Right.
It's been a mix. Like the day's proceedings shouldn't even have occurred if we have to hear it.
Well, it's not a proceeding. It's just Mr. Lank's presenting the request of the people who are filing the appeals.
Do we have to vote?
And he wants you to tell him whether he should advertise these for hearings.
Do we vote on that?
We have in the past. Council has in the past.
Well, yeah. You're just voting on whether to accept the request and go forward with
accept the request for appeal.
If you vote no, then what happens?
Then you go to Supreme Court.
Then we go to the Supreme Court?
No, you go straight to court.
So straight to court.
Right?
What you're contemplating doing. If you're contemplating sending it back to the commission at this point, the applicant or the applicant can say they had a choice of either going to the commissioner coming here and they chose to go here, so it's not right to send them back there. They want you to hear what they have to say and then make your decision.
I don't have a problem with it. It just seems kind of odd that we have to vote on something that's a given.
Well, you're just voting. Somebody's going to say, yes, we will give it consideration, and so it's a motion to vote. Just to consider.
Yes, we will accept.
Since neither of them chose to go back to the commission, they at least deserve some opportunity to show what cause, if any, they have as to why they should get a different result.
Yeah, let's go.
I'd like to move that we grant the appeal request. Is that the correct terminology?
Right.
For subdivision number 2006-11, application of Raging Cajun Homes, LLC.
There's another one.
You want to do them both at the same time?
Okay.
And I'd like to also make the same request on behalf of
La
Crosse Homes, I believe it is. Subdivision number 2006-10.
No, wait, we haven't talked about that one. We just talked about the first one. You're including them both now, Mr. Phillips?
We can talk about them once the motion has a second.
No, I think we're just having a conversation right now.
I think the conversation's pretty much the same on both.
I have a motion.
This one's got a letter and so some reasons, and it looks like planning and zoning actually got a pretty detailed response.
I have a motion by Mr. Phillips to accept the appeal for 2006-10, 2006-11. Do I have a second?
Yeah, I'll second it. Let's get this over.
We have a second, Mr.
If
Jones.
If you want to discuss it, let's discuss it.
Okay.
Discussion, Mr. Cole.
Well, I'm just could you address now, Mr. Griffin, the second one with they had some legal concerns. Do you feel? Have you reviewed any of it? Do you feel that some of these concerns are legit, or could their concerns be arbitrary and capricious just because they just want to come in front of us because they know they might get overturned? Because of the track record.
When you asked me if I reviewed it, I have reviewed what Mr. Lank gave us. I had not seen the applicant's letters before today, but I think the discussion on this is pretty much the same as the other one. this is the one where Mr. Lang said that the commission didn't feel that it was created a superior living environment, one superior to a standard lot subdivision, and didn't feel that the applicant appropriately addressed the standards in the statute that should be addressed, the 17 factors, I think.
Right.
But our appeal, the old appeal statute under which both of these came.
So you're just saying we automatically have to accept them? Is what your, is that your, the advice we're getting?
They chose not to go back to the commission, so at some level, they have an opportunity to show you some reasons why you should make a different decision.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
And what you're doing, you're not holding a public hearing on the whole subdivision, you're holding a subdivision on why they're appealing.
That's the intent, but how you can control that once
we're back to an appellate again, right?
Right.
Are these the last two?
Should be the last two.
So all the others will be under the new
order. Under the new code, should be.
Any other questions? Mr. Phillips, any questions?
Nope.
Mr. Rogers, questions? Mr. Jones, questions? I have a motion by Mr. Phillips, second Mr. Jones, to approve the appeal for 2006-10, 2006-11. Questions on the motion? Now, Mr. Cole.
I vote yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried. Thank you, Mr. Lank. Mr. Baker.
The next item is the administrator's report, and I have two items.
Very good, Jim.
On the report, first is the Angola Sewer Public Meeting, which was held this Saturday, August 4th. The engineering department conducted a public meeting to provide additional information regarding the upcoming referendum for the proposed Angola Sewer District. Okay. Over 216 people attended the meeting at the Oak Orchard American Legion on Route 24. There was considerable discussion regarding cost and the environmental benefits of the project. We would like to thank the engineering department for their management of the two public meetings. The referendum is scheduled for August 18th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Lewis Rehoboth Fire Station on Route 24. And it's an update on the Heron Bay development. The county is working with the developer of the Heron Bay development, the State Forestry Department, and the Sussex Conservation District to come up with an improved screen buffer for the Heron Bay project. A plan from the developer's landscape architect was received on August 6th by the State Forestry Department for review. An amended screen buffer would be over and above the original approved plans by the Conservation District and the Planning and Zoning Commission. Also, an ordinance is being drafted for possible introduction to tighten the zoning code definition of a forested buffer. And we're hoping to possibly introduce that ordinance on August 21st.
So this is the one down there that we've been reading and hearing about on the radio and in the newspaper, so we are working to get some resolve on it.
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good.
Yes, we have been working with the developer in the Conservation District and the State Forester, and they do have a plan for review.
Good.
The complaint, though, Mr. Dukes, is that how did it get that far? How come nobody's catching this stuff? And it's happening time and time again, and the only time we pick it up is somebody complains. There ought to be a better way through inspections. Have we improved any on that?
We have the Public Works Department as well as the Planning and Zoning Department are looking for these and inspecting these. We are holding bonds that were originally issued for roads. In some cases, if there are problems like with the buffers that need to be resolved.
So, okay, we're starting to address it because a lot of this stuff's slipping through the cracks, and it's embarrassing to have to read about in the paper every time about where we're not inspecting stuff.
But part of the slippage, I think, was the vagueness of the definition for forested buffer, which will be addressed through an ordinance to be introduced.
Mm-hmm.
Because it did not include an exhaustive enough list of what was excluded from the buffer or should be excluded from the buffer.
It allowed a stormwater management pond to be included in the 30 feet, I think was an interpretation. So that's what that's the change you'll be seeing in a few weeks here.
And that's all we're gonna change. That's the only problem.
And we're gonna flat out say that a forested buffer means trees. There is some discrepancy there of what does forested buffer mean?
Well, they're gonna, they're, as Mr. Baker said, the engineering department is going to include in their agreement with the developer as one of the issues to be completed, the forested buffer, as a bonded item of work. And that had not been done in the past, so that's gonna be, I think, a help.
All right. Make sure we're making some progress.
We've included.
I was at the barbecue in Ellendale, or Lincoln, I guess, Sunday, and state senator told me that, no, I'm sorry, it was down to Roxanna, to the
World Series.
How good a job that Mr. Baker did and our staff down to Angola in making the presentation and defining why that the costs were high, and really fielding a lot of really tough questions. Said that you all did a real good job in presenting that, and he said you should be very proud of them. They did a good job with the sometimes a little hostile questions, but he said you had answers for them, and that was good. He said you did a very good job, so I just wanted to pass that along.
Thank you.
But under these site plan reviews, like when they come in, and like George was saying, not just the forested buffer where this stormwater management pond ended up in enemy trees or trees, and that's in discussion there. But so this don't happen again, but every detail of this site plan, do we have inspectors going out there? I know sometimes you have agencies that take care of their deal, but when you have a major project, do we have like a building code or a zoning person going out there by daily, just check on things and make sure that the tree, I mean, I had one, you know, that was stopped. I just had to drive by it, and I knew from reading the paper that the trees were supposed to come down, and that day they were starting to bite into them, and I stopped them. Glad it did, but I mean, you know, it's a shame you can't put 100-year-old trees back, but are we checking every
day? We are checking, but we're not checing each project every day, but we are, you know, we are checking, and there was a situation recently with another development that is being corrected. You know, if that is a possibility to include an additional, to hire an additional inspector, to his primary duty would be to check on these various conditions and the buffers and whatnot that are applied to each development. We do check. We have public works inspectors, of course, who are out there checking the roads and whatnot. They also look for problems. If they see something, they contact our planning and zoning inspectors, and the planning and zoning inspectors, they look for that too. So, I mean, there are normally there's two sets of eyes, because the public works inspectors are there particularly for the private roads that are being built within the development, but they also look for some of the other conditions that may apply. But
hey,
so, go ahead, Vance.
As we wrap up, like the road naming and addressing project, we've got extra employees up there. Has there been consideration of, rather than keeping them in that office and just finding busy work or whatever, moving them into maybe a position of an inspector so we don't have a net increase of employees?
Be glad to take a look at that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, on the forested buffer, who is going to be drafting that possible ordinance? Is that Cass or our land use consultant?
Jim Griffin. Mr. Robertson has drafted a first copy. We're trying to set up a meeting either Thursday or Friday between Mr. Lank, Rick Couts, myself, Mr. Robertson, and Mr. Baker to talk about some possible additions and clarifications of what Mr. Robertson put together.
It's an excellent group. Could I suggest that we passed in that ordinance last week, the density trade ordinance, a very detailed definition of forested buffer, the most detailed one I think we have in our code, and it may be a good starting point.
Okay.
Also, if I'm not mistaken about this, the stormwater management, when Lawrence, you know, Lawrence is not here, but when the plans go to soil conservation, they can kind of make the developer say this is where you're going to put the pond, and if it's in the, and then they've already signed off on it, and we've signed off on it, it goes, they go about their way, and stormwater management has created some of the problem that, if I'm not mistaken, that, you know, that, and I think P&Z now is also getting the plans back prior, after they sign off, that we look at them again, if I'm not mistaken, Mr.
That's true, right. And we are going to ask the Conservation District to sign off on the final site plan so that they are, of course, they review the stormwater part and that we're all on the same page with the buffers and whatnot. That has been a problem in the past where, for some reason, the Conservation District may have a different interpretation of the buffers than what we have, and this would clear that up.
Okay. Mr. Godwin.
Mr. President, members of council, this morning for your consideration, we have just one wastewater agreement. And that agreement is project number 81-04, agreement number 605. The developer in this case is Mr. Jim Cerullo of Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, representing the Peninsula Healthcare Services LLC company. Location for this service will be on Route 24, 1/2 mile west of Long Neck Road, and it will be serving through the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District, simply two commercial units. The system connection charges will total $6,288. We already have approvals from our engineering department and from DENREC. We're expecting 60 days of construction time with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $3,570.90. The proposed construction cost is $23,806. The supporting motion that we have before you this morning is worded as follows. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 605, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Peninsula Healthcare Services LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in the Peninsula Nursing and Rehabilitation Center parcels A and B, located in the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District.
So moved, Mr. President.
Second. I have a motion by Mr. Jones, second Mr. Phillips, to approve the motion wastewater agreement just read by Mr. Godwin. Any questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I think it's my heart beating. I thought it was my phone vibrating.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to give you a brief update on the Millville Sanitary Sewer Project. Council may recall that we began construction there about 14, 16 months ago. The Millville Project Phase A has been completed, and those customers are now connecting. That area was the Old Mill Road area, south areas of Railway Road and the community of White's Creek Manor. And that project has been successfully completed, and we will be coming to council in the near future for the balancing change order. We anticipate coming in within our budget on that project. This project before you today is requesting bid award for Millville Phase B. It is the areas of Clubhouse Road and the Rogers Haven and Mill Run and some sewer extensions in that area. The main reason for the phasing of the projects is because the overall project is $30+ million, very large project. And the maintenance of traffic, we cannot move into one specific area and be able to manage traffic and keep people moving. So we've kind of got a plan of attack where we move into a diversity of area, and that way we can work on one side of the community and on one road versus another road, and assist the public in traveling around our construction area. And even in that case, in some cases, it's difficult, but that's the way we've chosen to manage the project.
But you're not going to totally close a road down, is that what you're trying to say? Or
not for any extended period of time. There are occasions when there are road closures that are required, but we're trying to design to minimize those.
Not surprised.
And in this case, we have a bid award, or we've opened bids. The contractor is Teal Construction. You have before you a bid summary of of all the bidders, and we have a favorable bid, and it is within our budget. And if council has any questions regarding the bid process or bid award, and if not, I have a motion.
Any questions for Mr. Hawks? Read it, please.
Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the engineering consultants Whitman, Reckward, and Associates LLP and the engineering department, that Sussex County project number 0506B, Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District, Banks Harbor, Mill Run, and miscellaneous southern extensions, bid schedule 1 with alternate, be awarded to Teal Construction Inc. of Dover, Delaware, in the bid amount of $3,836,086, contingent upon receipt of approval from the Delaware Department of Natural Resources.
So moved, Mr. President.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Jones, second Mr. Phillips, to approve the motion you just read, Mr. Hawks, with the Millville contract 565-6B. Any questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Mr. Ashman?
Good morning.
Don't pay attention to his job.
He's worrying about where he's going to eat today.
Well, that's a pretty important item.
That's important, I guess.
Here this morning for the resolution declaring Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District. On July 21st, eligible voters approved the creation of the Johnson Corner Sanitary Sewer District by a vote of 243-87. County Council is required to issue a determination within 30 days. Therefore, that's my reason for being here today. This will allow county engineer and attorney and the attorney for the county council to procure the necessary lands and right-of-ways by purchase agreement or condemnation. This also directs the county engineer to prepare maps, plans, specifications, and estimates, let contracts for and supervise the construction, maintenance, or enlarging and modeling of any structures required to provide for safe disposal of sewage in the sanitary sewer district. This also directs the county finance director and county engineer to apply for, accept, receive grants, loans, or other fundings necessary to provide adequate financing for the planning, design, construction, and all other phases of the sanitary sewer district. Question,
Mr. Ashman?
To read the resolution.
It's a proposed resolution, Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District, declared under the provisions of Title IX, Chapter 65 of the Delaware Code. So what you're doing is adopting a resolution to establish this sewer district.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Jones, second Mr. Phillips, to adopt the resolution establishing the district in Johnson's Corner Sanitary Sewer District. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Grant request. Who's got that one? Mr. Baker?
Yes, we have one request, Safe Kids Delaware for Sussex County Safe Kids Day, and this is the annual program through Mr. Mike Love at the University of Delaware. And last year we gave $500, $100 each from youth activity account.
So move.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Kohler, seconded by Mr. Jones, to give $100 from each councilmatic, or from each youth activity account for Safe Kids Day, which is tomorrow at Sussex Votech. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes. Yes.
Motion is carried. Will you have that check read it today, Mr. Baker?
Yes, we'll have it.
Okay, because I'm supposed to be there tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, I think.
Yeah.
Could okay.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Any other councilman want to go? Opening ceremony is 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And it's at Sussex Votech.
How much was it, 400 each?
Hmm?
How much did you make the motion?
The 100 each?
100. What was 100 the same each. Request as last time?
Yes,
100 each.
I understand there are no ordinances to be introduced, correct, Mr. Griffin?
I've not been given any.
Additional business? No additional business. I need a motion to go into executive session.
Make a motion, Sussex County.
Property acquisition.
For property acquisition.
Make a motion, Sussex County Council, go into executive session for the purpose of property acquisition.
I have a motion, Mr. Rogers, seconded by
Second.
Mr. Phillips, to go into executive session to discuss property acquisition. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried.
Come here for a second. I just gotta show you something.